through all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Well, that feels like a hangover. That was not very fun here at the ballpark tonight. The Brewers fall 5-1. Game one of this four-game set with the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I know that's going to be the headline that writes itself. Oh, it was a hangover game. Oh, Willie wasn't in the lineup. Oh, Reese wasn't in the lineup. Hey, let's take a moment. Tip your cap to Brandon Pfaadt. He was spectacular tonight. New career high, 12 strikeouts. And I know the Brewers tagged him for, what was it, 8 runs over an inning and 2/3 last week. That's not the norm with him. His first half was incredible. He had been leaking oil as of late, but what I like to say is he got his oil change. And, man, he at one point struck out 7 in a row, which matched a franchise record for the Arizona Diamondbacks, a record that is shared with Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling. So, pretty good company for Brandon Pfaadt tonight. He goes 7 strong, only allowing 1 run, a Garrett Mitchell solo homer. And Augie, I mean, I'm not going to overreact because, quite frankly, I think the Brewers' fate, I've been saying this for a week now, I think the Brewers' fate is pretty sealed. They're probably bound for the 3 seed, and tonight pretty much all but confirms it.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, things can happen when you look at the playoffs that could happen. The games left. Everybody has 9 games. And, you know, you look at what teams are, who they're playing in the 9 games, and it's going to get pretty interesting. But when you look at what the Dodgers look, you look at the Dodgers are 91-62 right now. They have the Rockies for 3, the Padres for 3, and the Rockies again for 3. You look at what the Phillies have. They have the Mets for 4, the Cubs, and the Nats. So when you look at the Brewers, a little bit tougher schedule. You got the D-backs for 3, Pitt, and then you got the Mets coming in. So when you look at this way it's probably going to end up, you're probably thinking wild card, but you got to play them out. You got to see what can happen. You get hot and some team gets cold, you can sneak in there. And I'll tell you what, I think it would be nice if they could get into that playoff spot where they get that 1 or 2 spots and they get that rest. That third spot going in, the one thing that I look at now, you know, if you look at the playoffs where it could be, and you're going to play with the 6th seed, you're going to end up with either the D-backs or the Mets, or possibly the Braves. The Braves are sitting behind 2 games, but you could play one. Those are teams that you're going to play the last 2 week or last 9 games. Going to be pretty interesting.
I think let's real quick go to scoreboard watching here for what happened tonight. Brewers are obviously NL Central champions. In case you missed it, we had a big extravaganza show yesterday. You can find that in your podcast feeds under Brewers All Access. But the way the standings and the scoreboard watching went today, Philadelphia lost to the New York Mets today. They're at 91-62. The Dodgers won in big fashion and epic fashion from Shohei Ohtani. We'll talk about him later. The Dodgers are also 91-62. However, the Phillies won the season series 5-1. So if they end up tied, Philly would be the 1 seed, LA would be the 2 seed. Then the Brewers, they're 88-65. And while that's 3 games back in record, it's really 4 because the sense of this exercise, not having the tiebreaker means it does you no good if you end up tied at the end of the year. You need to be up by at least 1 game. So being 4 down with 9 to go and no head-to-head matchups,
kind of
like
tough. Very tough.
Don't never tell me the odds, but let's be real for a second. You know, this is probably where they're headed.
Yeah, I agree. I think when you look at it, it's going to get interesting. I just still think that when you look at the Mets have to play, they're playing the Phillies now, and then they got the Braves, and then they got us, the Brewers, to finish out the season. That's 9 tough games that they have to play. Going to be interesting to see how they can handle it, but they're playing great baseball, and there's no question how they're playing. It's going to get pretty interesting, but, you know, you look at the D-backs, they got their work cut out for them, too. You know, you got us, and you got the Padres to finish the season, and San Francisco's never easy when you play in the NL West in the inner division. So it's going to get pretty interesting, and the Braves are still playing. They're playing hard, and you never know what can happen. But I just get it. Boy, you get into that last week, and you're playing 2 teams in the last 9 games that you may play off. You may play in the playoffs in the wild card. This makes it very interesting.
And Pat Murphy talked about that earlier today in his pregame press conference, saying, you know, there's 2 ways you can look at it, right? Oh, maybe you want to face the teams that aren't in it, right? Well, those are the teams that have nothing to lose, and they got young guys trying to prove something, or guys trying to make a roster, or stat pad, or whatever it may be. Those guys are still dangerous. And then you look on the other side, it's like, if you're playing playoff teams, you're finding out what you're made of. You're finding out what you need to work on and that sort of thing. So there are still challenges to both of those types of games. And the Brewers have, we've talked about it all September, they faced quality opponents all month long, and they're still going to be in the playoffs. We know that, and they're likely going to be in that wild card round. And I know that freaks some people out, but at the same time, the last 2 years, we've seen a pennant winner out of this wild card round. So whether it's the National League or the American League, the team has been in the contention to win a series and move on. It just feels like you win the wild card round, you're going to win another series too.
Yeah, it just seems like the way it's been played, you know. And you know, the one thing I do like about the way the Brewers have to finish the season, their teams in contention, you know, you really, there's no thing in baseball where you just turn on a switch and all of a sudden you start playing good baseball. You have to consistently play good, and I think Murph said that with the team last night. You know, you still have a lot to play for. There's a lot each and every day you have to go out. And I think when you have young players, the blend of players that they have here, it's so important that they go out. Yeah, take tonight. It was a little lackluster. It didn't seem like it went our way. And Poff was just, he was just fantastic. But you still got to go out every game and you got to start playing the way you've played all year. And I think when you do that and you're playing against contending teams, that makes you play better.
Yeah, I agree entirely. We'll get to some more into that. We'll talk about Fotstar and the offense as of late. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank with a local Milwaukee team. Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Take a break. Come back with more after this on WTMJ. It's kind of a chicken or the egg question. Hey, did you have a bad day offensively because you're hungover, or did you have a bad off day offensively because the other pitcher was really darn good? Welcome back. This is Brewers Extra Innings. I'm Dominic Catronio. Jerry Augustine, former Brewers pitcher, is with us as well. So let's start with the offense angle on this one. No Willy Adames today. No Rhys Hoskins. They earned a day off. However, you know, no hard contact to speak of at all against Fott. You could say that's a pitcher statistic, or you can say that's an offense statistic. In fact, they only had 1-2 fly balls until Mitchell went yard in the seventh inning, so they were really having trouble with the right-hander Fott. And let's also take a moment. Fott's a guy that averages 9 strikeouts per 9. It's not like him striking out 12 is something that's so out of the ordinary for him. He does rack up strikeouts. That's his thing. And this dude struck out 10 Dodgers a couple of starts ago, too. So I know last week is what people want to point to. Is, oh, you just beat him up last week. Just do that again. Well, if it was that easy, nobody would ever pitch ever. But to me, from my eyes, again, I saw good pitching. I saw some bad offense in there, too. But a dude executed his game plan. The fastball up, he was locating it, he wasn't missing big, and he was getting swings and misses on it, and he just kept throwing it, 95 at the top of the zone. That's almost a perfect pitch.
And Dom, I think you agree with me. Last time out, he really had a hard time finding a strike zone with all his pitches. He couldn't get his breaking ball. His breaking ball, he was carrying off all outside the plate, couldn't expand the strike zone real well. I thought today, the first couple innings, he was trying to find himself. I think when you're a pitcher and you go up against a team, and you have the outing that he had in Arizona, boy, you go back and you get to sit and review what you did. You get to take a look. Nowadays, you get to take a look at it, see what pitches were working for you, what were you doing right and wrong. I think the first couple innings he came out and said, I'm going to go and I'm going to work on execution and let's see what happens. And I thought about the third inning. He just fell in a groove and he was throwing the ball where he wanted to and executing all the pitches. And he's got quality pitches, but when you can have the quality pitches, locate them, execute them very well, and do them efficiently, you're going to be pretty successful. And I thought after third inning, he was fantastic.
I thought he really hit the groove, obviously, when he struck out 7 batters in a
row. That's right.
I mean, he almost kind of got to, he had a little bit of a release as soon as the first hit was allowed, since he was perfect the first 9 batters of the game. And the other stat that kind of blew my mind tonight about Brandon Fott is, in the first 6 innings, he only had 2 3 ball counts. I mean, that's a guy that's in command, in control. On the flip side, Tobias Myers cannot say the same about him. He had 10 3 ball counts tonight. And Tobias, we were just talking in the break, he wasn't quite sharp. He wasn't himself. He had good fastball velo and good fastball numbers. He started out strong, but just those little imperfections started to catch up to him, and then you blink in the fifth inning, and he walked the 8-9 hitters.
You know, it's so amazing, Don. We've had him the last two starts together, and having him, and how good he's been with the release point, and the ball's got that little life on it, and he's been able to locate the pitches, and he's able to put the ball up in the strike zone, then go down and away and hit that good strike zone with his breakout and his changeup and all those other pitches. But today it just seemed like just a little bit off in locating the pitches. The execution was there. The attempt to do it was there. He kind of had understood what he wanted to do and wanted to accomplish. But when it came down to locating him and executing his pitches, I think he was just off a little bit today.
Yeah, I mean, it's the duality of man, right? One guy struggled against the Brewers in his last start and making back-to-back starts, made the adjustment, and was great. Tobias was good against the Diamondbacks in his last start. And then the Diamondbacks made the adjustment on him, and he wasn't quite sharp, and he gets beat up today. So I go back to that fifth inning. I know we can point a lot of blame to Andrew Monasterio for the error he made there in the fifth inning that led to two unearned runs scoring. But at the same time, you just can't walk the 8-9 hitters, especially against a lineup that features Corbin Carroll, Ketel Marte, and Jock Peterson, and then Christian Walker looming in there too. I mean, this is a lineup that you give them free outs, and this is the best offense in baseball. They're going to take advantage.
You're going to pay. I think when you look at the Brewers, it's the same way. You cannot walk hitters deep in the batting order, and they're going to make you pay. Most teams are that way. If you get those guys on base, they're going to create something when you get to top of the order and you got guys in scoring position. And it just seemed like he was overthrowing a little bit, just missed on his location. And I think the one thing I really like about Tobias, he's really good at analyzing his games and saying, you know, where he has to improve, what he needs to work on in between starts. He's going to get another start. He's going to get that opportunity to go out. It'll be really interesting to see how he comes out and goes after next start. We saw the Arizona Pop come out. And what he did, I thought the first three innings he came out testing himself. But he said one thing: I'm going to locate, I'm going to throw strikes, I'm going to get ahead, and then everything from there will happen. And it did, and he had a great outing. I think you see the same thing with Tobias. Got tonight just a little bit off with his pitches, couldn't locate the way he wanted. And he, like you said, anytime you walk 8-9, you're going to be in trouble. But it'll be interesting to see how he comes back to his next start.
Yeah, his next start will be against the Pirates next week, either on Tuesday or Wednesday, which, you know, if he goes on Tuesday, that means he could start the finale of the regular season, which means he would get two more starts, which also would mean he's not going to pitch probably in a wild card round. So that's something to monitor over the next 2 weeks. Real quick here. Are you concerned, worried, is this something, is this nothing, that the Brewers are dead last in the month of September for offense? They have a .202 batting average as a team. They have a .274 on base. That's second worst, only behind the Rockies. Is this something or nothing to worry about?
Boy, with this team, I say nothing, because they find ways to win. You know, you look at this team, you look at the game last night. I mean, if you're talking about, you know, you've got the Division I, you know, you've got that. To go out and play a game like they did against a great team like the Phillies, that was a playoff game. Mm-hmm. And the way it was played, and the pitching was excellent, the defense was excellent, got the runs when they needed them. This club, I wish you could say I'm worried about it, but I can't, because they continually go and show that they can arise to the whatever they have to do and win a ball game, whether it's going to be on the pitching side, defensive side, or offensive side, they're going to come through. But you know, most prognosticators are going to say, you look at that batting average the last month, that's going to be a big concern.
Who do you think is leading the team in batting average for this month? Minimum, you know, of a regular playing time, minimum of, let's say, 30 plate appearances.
Boy, that'd be really interesting. I would say, you know what? I think Garrett Mitchell.
He's up there, but it's Bryce Terang. Bryce Terang is hitting .290. Garrett's still only hitting .233 this month, but it's because of the more recent hot stretch that he's been on. But here in September, I mean, it's Terang who doesn't hit homers, and his on base is .333. Garrett Mitchell's on base is .300 over this time. William Contreras' on base is .365 over this time. But there's not much slug this month, especially Blake Perkins has come back down to earth. He's hitting .106. Sal Frelick is only hitting .149. Willy Adames only hitting .180, and he had the day off today. So this is a text from Brian in Tulsa. Brian, you conveniently weren't here when we were talking about celebrations, but I'll let it slide, given you want to talk about only negativity. But that's okay, because we're talking about it. The offense, It's not exactly blowing the doors off the place, giving you some confidence heading into October.
You know, we've had a talk about who's the leadoff guy. And, gets a left-hand pitcher, they have who? Jackson Chourio. And he's done such a good job. I mean, when you talk about taking pitches, getting on base, what he has to do. And I think what I really like to order when they have Terang leading off, he has given he's the guy I really thought he was close to being the best hitter for average in a month, but he's the guy who's been getting on base, takes pitches, and makes things happen. They are a really good offense when they face a right-hand pitcher, and he's leading off. And I think I like that with him and Chourio, and then you can go just about any direction you want to go from there, depending on how you feel the matchups are. But I think those two guys are really key guys against a right-hand pitcher, top of the order.
A couple other texts here. Mark in California. Learn three things tonight. Make sure Myers doesn't see a batter for a third time through in the playoffs. I don't think any starter is going to see a starter. They're going to see a batter for the third time through in the playoffs with the Brewers because of the strength of their bullpen. Monasterio probably not going to play defense in the playoffs. I would imagine that. I mean, they got Joey Ortiz. They got Willy Adames. That's Andrew is just sort of like break glass in case of emergency. That's what the playoffs are for. Then finally, it's hard to play baseball hungover. That one made me chuckle, but appreciate the text there. Let's get them tomorrow night. Take a breather. Come back with more with Augie after this on 620 WTMJ. Welcome back. Dom Catronio. Jerry Augustine is here as well. Brewers fall 5-1 to the Diamondbacks tonight. Back at it tomorrow. Back to a normal time of 7:10 for Friday Night Baseball. Here at American Family Field, Zach Gallen will get the ball for the Diamondbacks, and it'll be Colin Ray back in the starting rotation for the Brewers. I imagine D.L. Hall will be available as well. It's a tough part about facing a team back-to-back weekends. You're going to have some overlap. You're going to have some guys play each other. Now, Ray was skipped in the last turn through the rotation in Arizona after his tough start in San Francisco. We saw him out of the bullpen on Monday night against the Phillies, so he gets the start tomorrow. He can give you some length. The bullpen still could use a breather now since you used Hobie Milliner tonight. You used Joe Ross on a back-to-back tonight. I want to talk about Joe Ross, too. But for Code Red tomorrow, an important bounce back because he's also probably only got one more start after tomorrow.
Yeah, I tell you, he's been throwing the ball so well all year long, and I like that he's getting that start. I thought when he came in out of bullpen, I think one time, sometimes when you get a guy who's been a starter for you all season long, you throw him in a bullpen. The bullpen coming in is just a little different type of thinking. You go in, you're more aggressive with your pitches. You go in, you say, hey, this is not something I'm going to set a tone. The tone has been set. I'm just going to take that tone. I'm going to run with it. And I thought the game when he came in, he got his only save in his career in Major League Baseball. I thought he came in, he was aggressive in the strike zone, really located all his pitches. He was fantastic that day. The pitch counts were good, not going deep in the counts and really locating all his pitches. So I think tomorrow night's going to be a real interesting game for him to come out where he's going to come out and he's going to try to, where he's pitched against this team before, he's going to try to dictate to this team right from the beginning and hopefully have a great outing.
And for Joe Ross tonight, appearing in back-to-back for the first time, and this is something that the Brewers know they need to learn what they have with Joe Ross because they've been using him with multi-inning outings lately,
right.
And he's clearly thought of in the bullpen for this postseason run. And one of the hardest things about the postseason is that there are going to be days that you have to go back-to-back. I mean, a wild card round, all three games are back-to-back-to-back. And then in the DS, you go back-to-back, off day, back-to-back, off day. And you're going to need to find out what you can do. And for a guy that was a starter at the beginning of camp, there is some difficulty there of being able to pitch on back-to-back days. Your arm may feel a little different, dealing with fatigue. Hand may feel a little bit different, and I think that's what he went through today before he gave up the home run to Pavin Smith.
I agree. The first time you do it, it's difficult. I think when you're a starter, like he has been in the past, and coming, you're a bullpen guy. Now, how did they use you? Well, sometimes it's an inning, sometimes it's multi-innings, and he's been so good all season long. It's a little bit different when you have to turn it on and pitch a couple of innings and give yourself out, get out through an inning or two, and then have to stop to come in the next night. Just a little bit of I'll focus on being able to locate your pitches. And I thought tonight was a good experience for him. And how he did, probably important how he did. He wanted to go out and throw the ball good, and which he always does. But I think at the same time, I think with him, it's about understanding that, you know what, if I pitch 2 days in a row, the mentality of doing what you have to do, what you have to locate, and you come in with a different set of terms with your mind that how you're going to go out and pitch that game that second day, being aggressive and locating your pitches.
With positive things. Let's try to find something positive out of this.
Sure.
And I'll start. Garrett Mitchell went yard.
That's right.
He's been playing better as of late. And we just read the numbers about September. But even yet, his hot streak kind of goes back over a longer range since like that Oakland series about 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago. He's a guy that now the Brewers suddenly have a decision to make in center field for a playoff roster. I have to imagine they value the defense, and they're going to put Perkins in center and potentially Garrett Mitchell in right, and then Sal Frelick will be coming off the bench. That's where I stand right now. That obviously could change, but with the way Garrett Mitchell's swinging the bat, he's probably going to be in the lineup, assuming they face a right-hander in the playoffs.
Yeah, especially the way he's been swinging the bat. He provides, he's just a good offer. He runs the bases real well. I agree with you. I think when you got Perkins in the game, Perkins is so good on the defensive side. He's done so much for this, and he still does give you that good at-bats. He's struggling a little bit right now. It'll be interesting. I think I like the part where you put Chirio in left, and you put Perkins in center, and you put Mitchell in right. But, it might be a matchup. It might be a certain matchup that he feels that, you know what, I can put Sal in. But then when you put Sal in, then you just move Mitchell over to center, who I think could become an all-star as a center fielder. He's that good of an outfielder. It's just now, can I get back and get in that groove with the swing and the bat? And he's an interesting player, so I think he's swinging the bat, and he's starting to hit a couple home runs and getting a little bit better at bat, so it's going to be interesting to see what they do in the playoffs.
And then one more positive, stacking positive results from Hobie Milner and Aaron Ashby. I don't think Hobie Milner is going to be on the playoff roster. I've been wrong before. He can be on the playoff roster and you don't use him. You can use 26 spots however you wish, but at the same time, it's like, hey, Aaron Ashby continuing to throw well and throw back-to-backs, and he throw them every other day, it feels like, over the last week or so. And for Ashby, he's found this new normal, and it's been a very, very quick acclimation for him.
Yeah, he's been outstanding. He's so aggressive in the strike zone, and, he gets the ball, and he knows what he wants to accomplish. And I just like what he's done with his breaking ball. Mm-hmm. He'll give you that good, big, hard breaking ball, but he'll back off just a little bit. I looked at it. Change of speeds. I was watching when he was in Arizona. He threw a couple of pitches, like, as an example, he threw a couple of breaking balls at 87, 88 miles an hour, 89 miles an hour, and all of a sudden you see one about 82, 83. Sometimes pitchers go out there and they get the feel for it, Dom. They get out there and say, hey, you know what? I threw this one hard, or I'm going to throw a cutter, and you get a feel for that good breaking ball. So it's maybe a get me over breaking ball, whatever you want to do. It seems like that Aaron has a great idea at being able to do that. As far as Hobie, every time Hobie goes out there, it's important. He wants to prove that he belongs on that roster. And how that's going to play out, we don't know yet. It might be a matchup. It might be something. But I think what Hobie needs to do is continue doing what he did tonight, and I think he'll be just fine.
I agree entirely. Real quick, 20 runs for the Dodgers tonight. Shohei Ohtani might have had the greatest game ever played. 6-for-6, three homers, two stolen bases, two doubles, and a single pitched in there as well. He's going to be the MVP. He's got a 51-51 season. And a reminder for everyone's like, oh my gosh, he's the first ever 50-50. Okay, well, he was already the first ever 43-43, 44-44, 45-45. Like, he was already making new ground. We just are obsessed with round numbers. And maybe the Brewers are going to see him in the playoffs. Maybe not. But nonetheless, I'm just grateful to be on the planet at the same time as Shohei Ohtani.
You know, when he's on TV, you just have that natural thing. Is you see the Dodgers are on TV on the channel, you go, oh, my gosh. You flip over because what do you want to do? You want to see him hit, and then you go back to your game that you're at. Isn't it? It's so interesting that he possesses just that kind of a style of ball player that you just want to see what he does. And he plays the game the right way. He did. There was a little story that someone had gone in and wanted to take a picture with him. And he went up to him and he said, hey, Mr. Ohtani, can I take a picture? And he said, well, sure. And he was in his street clothes. What he did, he dressed up in his uniform, put his full uniform on, got up and said, okay, now I'm ready. And he took the picture with the person.
Wow.
That's class.
Yeah.
That is really class. That was a neat story. And I don't remember exactly where I saw it. I saw it just the other day on TV, or I was reading about it. I thought that's really class. That really shows you a guy what he loves about the game and the way he plays it.
Well, I can't wait to see Tobias Myers strike him out next time the Brewers see him in the NLCS or something like that.
So that'd be even better.
That would be great. Jerry Augustine joining us here on WTMJ. Appreciate your time, Augie. And I know we've got a few more remaining with you. You're going to finally get a good little breather here from me anyway, and then we'll talk to you in the final weekend of the season.
Well, we had some fun. You know, the last couple of days was fun. And I know you, with you experiencing that, the part about going in that clubhouse after a win, and then down on the bench, and I was sitting up here. I stayed up away a little bit because, I wanted you to experience that. It's such a great experience. Everybody's got to do it. And once you do it, you just sit back and go, that was cool.
Very cool. We're very lucky to do what we do, to say the least. Jerry Augustine here on WTMJ. Thanks, Augie.
All right. We'll see you later.
All right. Back with more after this on 620 WTMJ. Welcome back. I'm Dominic Catronio. All right. It's a loss. 5-1. I can sense the doom and gloom coming from some folks. It's okay. I know there's some apprehension about they're going to be, just real quick, done real quick. They're going to be in and out. No big deal. But you know what? Here, I'm just realizing Augie left his phone here. He'll figure it out here in a second. Anyway, the doom and gloom that some folks have about they're going to be done. And here we go again. You could be done. Any one of these teams could be done in the blink of an eye. And I'm not sitting here trying to hedge, but I don't have a crystal ball. I'm not going to say they're definitely going to move on out of wild card because I can't say that. And if you want me to sit here and guarantee they're going to wild card, you're not going to get that from me. And I'm also not going to guarantee they're going to get bounced in the wild card round. I do believe the Brewers are going to do something a little bit different coming up in this wild card round where, like we said earlier, starter's not going to face an order for the third time through. You know what the lineup, at least personnel, you're probably going to use between Terang, Churio, Contreras, Adamas, Hoskins, Mitchell, Ortiz, and then you figure out, all right, Perkins and Frelick, and then you figure out your DH, depending on what handedness the starter is going to be that day. And then the conversation always morphs to as we prepare for a wild card series and we keep an eye on who the Brewers could be playing. That becomes, all right, well, what do their rotations look like? If the playoffs started tomorrow, they would play these Arizona Diamondbacks. And then we have one lefty in their rotation. That's Eduardo Rodriguez. And then, you're going to have to face Fott again. Maybe you'll face Merrill Kelly instead. Maybe you'll definitely face Zach Gallen, who's held Willy Adames to 0-4 in his career against Gallen. And we're going to see that matchup once again tomorrow. And you don't want to face that offense and how elite the Arizona offense is. And I said this a couple of nights ago. Every team has something you're afraid of. Every single one. And then when it comes to the playoffs, buckle up. Every inning you're going to be hanging on to for dear life. Atlanta's got two starting lefties that you're afraid of. The Mets can throw three lefties all against you and you can freak out about that. But at the same time, something's got to give. Maybe it's you get the monkey off your back and you finally win a postseason series and you head on to Los Angeles. No, by the way, Los Angeles got boat raced at home by the Diamondbacks and quite frankly, L.A., aside from Yoshi Yamamoto, they really don't know who's starting for them. I mean, Jack Flaherty's been good. It would be probably Yamamoto, Flaherty, and then, they just optioned Bobby Miller. Gavin Stone's done for the year. They're kind of all over the place when it comes to who they could start. Kershaw's trying to make his way back. I still think L.A.'s offense is legit, just like Arizona's, but L.A.'s bullpen leaves a little bit to be desired, to me, anyway, and then their starting rotation's a little bit odd. It's a weird year to catch the Dodgers if you are bound for the Dodgers in the NLDS if you get out of that wild card round. So I firmly believe that it just feels like the team that wins the wild card round is going to go to the NLCS, and it's just, it feels like that because baseball momentum seems to be a thing, and some teams like to use excuses on Braves, but I think if there's a team that's built for tense, three-game, potentially fluky series, it's the Brewers because of their bullpen and because of the fact that they could get six strong innings out of Frankie Montas. They could get six strong innings out of Freddy Peralta. They could suddenly have their offense erupt for eight runs, and then you get to coast the rest of the game. The variance that the Brewers have is pretty impressive, and it's why they're going to be considered as an underdog in the postseason overall, not necessarily against the Mets or against the Diamondbacks, but just some folks aren't going to pick them, or they're going to pick them to be cute and say, oh, look at this underdog, look how good they are. Well, hey, man, I feel sometimes, I'm not saying this is everybody, but I'm saying sometimes people are texting to me or tweeting to me hoping that they lose in the wild card round, which I'm just confused with, because some people just like to complain, and don't keep those people in your lives, man. Part of being a fan is the pain. There is a lot of pain. And I'm not saying pain is necessary or required to be a fan. Nobody wants to lose. You kidding me? It's more fun to go into a clubhouse like last night than it is to go into a clubhouse that sounds like a, you know, a funeral. So everybody wants to see this team win and finally move on out of a series in the postseason. And I go back to that quote we recited yesterday from Pat Murphy. If you're not careful, these guys are just going to believe and make themselves into contention. And that's what he said on the last day of spring training. These guys are going to believe just enough to get themselves into contention. And here they are, still sitting in good shape to be the 3 seed and in the postseason to host a best of 3 at American Family Field. The odds should be in their favor in that regard, no matter who they're facing. At this point, this is the team they're going to battle with. Let's see if it's good enough here in the next 2 weeks. So, I mean, the playoffs start in about 11 days from now. There'll be the workout out here on that Monday, and then game one's October 1st. It's going to be here before you know it. Take a breather, come back. We don't have Pat Murphy today, but we're going to do a little out-of-town scoreboard next on 620 WTMJ. Welcome back. Dom Catronio here, 855-616-1620, if you're still with us. Going for another 15 minutes of real time here on WTMJ. Brewers fall 5-1. Still not a blowout loss, technically. Those are 5 or more runs. Brewers still have the fewest of those sort of losses. Now, normally, even with a Fox game, because this game was on TV, normally we use our friends' recording of Bally's, of recording of Pat Murphy whenever he talks to the media, but my recording actually malfunctioned tonight because Bally wasn't here and my recording malfunctioned, so I apologize, but I watched it. It was only 2.5 minutes, and it was all the same sort of what we've heard of. Brendan Faught was good. Our offense was not. I'm not worried, and it's, you know, a young team that's learning how to win. And another question here asking about William Contreras getting pulled late. I mean, the team is supposed to announce if it was an injury removal, and they never did. So I think this was a, hey, get him off his feet. He was swinging a little off. He was a little slow. I was honestly, I was very surprised he had the day off today, or did not have the day off today. I mean, I shouldn't be surprised because he's a bulldog and he always wants to be behind the plate. But at the same time, you know, you got Haas and you got Gary, and you're not going to face a lefty for a few days here. So might as well get one of those guys behind the plate perhaps. But nope, they decided to put William behind the plate. And the Brewers won't face a lefty until Sunday with Jordan Montgomery on the mound for the Diamondbacks. And then I imagine you'll see Gary and or Haas in the lineup that day. So the upcoming rotation for the crew we mentioned tomorrow, Zach Gallen against Colin Ray. Then on Saturday, it'll be Aaron Civale against Merrill Kelly. And finally on Sunday, the aforementioned Jordan Montgomery against Frankie Montas. And then an off day on Monday, and then the final road series of the year going up against the Pittsburgh Pirates out in the city of Bridges. So the Brewers, they're 4 games back of that number 2 spot. I think we can almost put that to bed. It's not mathematically over, but every day it could get closer. I mean, even with wins, you may not be able to gain ground on the team in the 2 seed. So, as Augie mentioned earlier, they got 6 games left with the Rockies. That's who they play next. It's going to be tough sledding here to catch them. And even if, let's say the Dodgers falter, well, the Padres might slide ahead because the Padres face the Dodgers Monday through Wednesday of next week for their last head-to-head series, and the Padres can end up being the 2 seed. And then moving Los Angeles into the wild card. So something to keep in mind that could happen with a chaos scenario, no matter how many home runs and stolen bases Shohei Ohtani has. Up next, there weren't really big highlights from this game, but there were 2 moments I want to point out coming up after this. Brewers fall 5-1 on 620 WTMJ.
50% compared to national brands.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dominic Catronio. It's a loss tonight. We're going for another 10 minutes here. I want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings is also brought to you by Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical, and they offer 5% off all service for seniors and veterans year-round. Go to Sider.com, S-E-I-D-E-R, or you can call and mention this when you're booking your appointment. Sider, S-E-I-D-E-R, and Sider.com. Families helping families since 1912. Normally, this is where we play the highlights. Well, when you lose 5-1 and you only had two hits, there aren't many highlights. Luckily, one of those hits left the yard, and it was off the bat of Garrett Mitchell.
1-1 on Mitchell. Fott brings home the pitch, and a high fly ball right center field. This is hit high and deep, and it is gone. Garrett Mitchell gets the Brewers on the board here in the seventh.
His seventh home run of the year. He's now got 21 extra base hits in 61 games, a slugging percentage hovering right around 450, and a reminder that he missed half the season and he's getting going. We can all sit here and dream and hope that he can stay healthy for a full year in 2025, because he's starting to show signs of what it could look like for him in a more regular role moving forward. We still got to work on some swing and miss in there, but I'm really excited for the development of Garrett Mitchell. Another thing to point out was a great play that Bryce Terang made once again, moving to his right on the other side of second base.
2-2 is lined back up the middle, backhanded by Terang, throws across his body to first. Oh, he got him! Oh, incredible! Bryce Terang keeps adding to that Gold Glove highlight reel.
This is a topic that I feel very strongly about, that Bryce Terang's a Gold Glover, guys. And I know we can get caught up in the StatCast world, myself included. You are talking to the nerd of nerds, and I know he's not super high on the OAA, the outs above average stuff. He's still a very above average defender in that metric. Just because he's not number one doesn't mean he's a bad defender. And I would encourage you to read over on Twitter, and he writes on MLB.com very often, Mike Petriello, one of the godfathers of baseball savant. Mike's done a fantastic job trying to explain this. I made a YouTube video about this about 2 months ago, why StatCast does not like Bryce Terang, or why outs above average specifically doesn't like him, but defensive runs saved does. Mike Petriello had a really good thread today explaining what he sees in StatCast and why may or may not be expecting to see higher numbers from Bryce Terang. One of the big things was difficult plays. Bryce Terang is one of the best in baseball at converting difficult plays and outs above average, whereas the guys that are maybe ahead of him are stacking up the slightly above average plays, which means, you know, they're maybe not positioned properly, where the Brewers are positioning so well, they're hurting Bryce Terang's statistics because he doesn't get to show off as much of his range as often as maybe some players that don't have as good positioning and scouting team. So that's a sign of a very good front office and a very good scouting team. And the Brewers, I still believe Bryce Terang is going to be a Gold Glover. Not only that, I think he's a serious candidate for a Platinum Glove, and I hope we see that come this offseason. So I just wanted to get that off my chest about Bryce. He made another great play to his right. You can get lost in the baseball savant, you know, panels and every sort of slider that you can want to find on that website, and learn a little bit something about the modern game of baseball. The Brewers get ready to go for three more against these Diamondbacks. It doesn't get any easier with Zach Gallen getting the ball tomorrow, and we'll take an actual look around the league coming up next here on 620 WTMJ. The program here. We mentioned that the Dodgers won big 20-3 in the Shohei Ohtani game. One thing I didn't realize about that game is one of those doubles he was trying to stretch into a triple and he got thrown out. So he almost had a cycle in addition to going 6-for-6 with three homers and two stolen bases. That was the greatest baseball game ever played. And right now the total bases record is held here in Milwaukee by a visitor, by a Dodger. You remember Sean Green? The four-homer game here. In fact, all the other games that are at least 16 total bases were four-homer games. Well, today, he turned it a 17 total base game with three homers, that's 12, two doubles, that's 16, and one single, that's 17, and then throwing a two stolen bases. No one had multiple stolen bases with at least that many total bases in a game. Then 11. 11 was the previous high if you had two or more stolen bases in a game. And he had 17 total bases. Greatest game ever played, honestly. Other finals from today that are notable. The Braves beat the Reds 15-3. That's notable because they're trying to chase these Diamondbacks for the final playoff spot. And Arizona, they need to keep their eyes in the back of their head because they don't have a tiebreaker on either the Mets or the Braves. And they need to make sure to keep them away. They're two games back right now are the Braves of these Diamondbacks. The Mets, as we mentioned, beat the Phillies 10-6. Also, over in the American League, the Twins continue to falter. The Tigers were idle today, but don't look now. The Guardians just clinched a playoff berth, and they're moving on to the postseason. They're currently in the hunt for the division crown in the AL Central. Cleveland's probably going to win the Central. It's between them and Kansas City, but Kansas City's now fallen back, having lost four in a row. So Cleveland's all but certain to clinch the Central, up 6.5 games. But have y'all seen what Detroit's doing? Detroit might do this. Detroit is now tied in record with the Twins. However, Detroit does not have the tiebreaker on the Twins, meaning they cannot end the year tied. And mind you, Detroit, they still got a series remaining with the White Sox. So they go to Baltimore, home for Tampa, and home for the White Sox. They might do the thing and come all the way back and get themselves into the postseason. That would be insane, quite frankly. They had a 0.2% chance to make the playoffs, according to FanGraphs. I believe it was on August 11th, and now they have the best record in baseball since then. They're 25-10 over their last 35 games. They have been an unbelievable run, to say the least. So keep an eye on Detroit over in the American League. And then finally, I'll end with this. Did you see the comments today from Craig Counsell? Grass ain't always greener. You know, sort of asking, we need to start building 90-win teams here because those guys are way ahead of us. They're way ahead of us on and off the field. They're 10 games ahead. We need to close the gap. Those guys being these Milwaukee Brewers. That made its rounds on Brewers fandom social media. So that was interesting. I think Jed Hoyer and Tom Ricketts are getting the message right now, to say the least, watching the Brewers celebrate for a third time in the last 4 years. In fact, the Cubs have not won a division title since 2017. Game 163, you know, zapped it all out of them back in 2018. All the powers and all the goodwill from the 2016 World Series, all that has been used up down in Chicago. That's going to do it for our show here tonight. Again, if you haven't listened to yesterday's show, the clinching show, I'm really proud of it. I hope you all enjoy it too. You can watch it live on YouTube or here in your podcast feeds. Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcasts. My thanks to Jerry Augustine and to our producer, Matt Yazel. I'm Dominic Catronio. Until next time, keep on swinging.